Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Just after 11, our second hour is underway. 1 o'clock today, looking forward to catching up with Tyler Columbus, the longtime NFL offensive lineman and former Redskins tackle, now doing radio in Denver. He knows a thing or two about the Broncos, who the Skins play on Sunday on Christmas Eve. So we'll preview the matchup with him. Right now, though, let's get the latest on the Redskins from our beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. And Craig, three Pro Bowlers. Let's start with Trent Williams. What an impressive year. We can kind of quibble over whether or not he should have been shut down or whether this was all worth it. But what a consummate pro. He kind of helped keep the team afloat in so many ways. This is now 10 Pro Bowl appearances in 13 years at the left tackle position for the Amazing. Skins, where they've really been lucky over the years.
Yeah, I mean, part of it's luck. You get in the right draft where the right guy's available, right? You get Chris Samuels, and then when he's ready to go, you're like, oh, well, we need another one. And here comes this kid out of Oklahoma that seems like he might be all right. And he's been more than all right. I think he's the best left tackle in football this year for years. I've kind of been back and forth between him and Tyron Smith. I think the way that Trent has played this year, all things considered, has been remarkable. And obviously Tyron's been hurt down in Dallas as well, and that's affected his play. And there's probably certain areas of Smith's game that are a little better than Trent, some areas of Trent's game that are a little bit better than Tyron's. But it's those two guys, and they're both Hall of Fame caliber players. And that's the thing you have to realize with Trent is this is not just a Pro Bowl player. This is not just an All-Pro player. Trent Williams is a Hall of Fame caliber player with the way he affects a game. And that's so incredibly rare at left tackle. Like, he's the rare left tackle you can game plan for. If you're an offense, you go, we can probably run some screenplays that probably don't work with other guys because he's able to get in space faster than other players, and he's able to clear out multiple players as a downfield blocker. Obviously, you feel great about him protecting your quarterback's blind side. You know, Kirk Cousins is working on one of the longest streaks in Redskins history of consecutive starts for a quarterback, and it's no coincidence that Trent Williams has been his left tackle for most of it. So that's all the on-the-field stuff. Nevertheless, the leadership and playing through the injury and all that kind of stuff. So he is more than deserving of this Pro Bowl nod and quite deserving of his Pro Bowl start, in my opinion.
All right, let's get into this weekend here, Craig. Denver's bad.
Well, do you care if I go with the Pro Bowl thing real quick?
One more time.
I want to talk Brandon Scherff for a second.
Yeah.
How many times, like, the Pro Bowl to me honestly doesn't matter that much in terms of value or how good a guy is, because I think it's kind of ridiculous. But that said, I am actually on record as saying I was fine with the Brandon Scherff pick, because I think if you get a dominant, really good player in the draft, it's a job well done. Where are you at on Scherff's development, what he can become, and then just justifying taking a guard where they did?
I don't know if I'll ever get on board with that, considering the guy who went after and what they've needed there. Obviously, you look, if Jonathan Allen turns out to be a stud and you get lucky, you know, 2 years later with a player of that caliber at the same position, then maybe we can change that discussion a little bit.
But everyone always cries about Leonard Williams. He's got 2 sacks in 14 games this year. He's been a disappointment.
But he's been an impact player in certain spots, and you never know how he's going to develop in a different system.
He's got more than 3 sacks in one season. People talk about him like
he's an interior lineman. We're not measuring that by sacks.
No, you're not, but he gets paid for sacks. In that scheme, they run a 34, and they ask him to get up the field. I mean, he's been voted by players at times as being overrated. I just think that we talk about him as more bark than bite. But that's just, I guess,
I mean,
not
it's fine, but
share.
You still spent – I mean, it is a top 5 pick on a guard. At the end of the day, and
that's the better argument. Yeah.
That's, you know, and you know, a top 5 pick on a defensive lineman, you know, hindsight being 20/20, maybe Scherff does wind up being significantly better even than Williams. And you go, okay, maybe McLuhan had that one right. As the guy who was at the head of that draft. But at the end of the day, like, you feel like could you get value? And this is an argument when I used to work down in Dallas, right? We would make this argument about Travis Frederick. he's turned into a perennial all-pro center. He's and this is kind of, you can make the same argument about Brandon Sheriff if he continues on the path he is. I actually thought he was a little bit prematurely named to the Pro Bowl last year. I think he's more than deserving this year. He's had a stellar year. But Travis Frederick was a guy that a lot of people had a third-round grade on. They could have easily traded down and still gotten Travis Frederick. You didn't get maximum value for the pick. I think the Redskins wanted Brandon Sheriff. They could have traded down and gotten better value for the pick because you still took a guard at the top five pick. That said, if you take out that investment level and go, what does Brandon Sheriff become? Again, you're looking down at the Dallas line, and him and Zach Martin are arguably the two best right guards in football. And those guys are awesome. They, again, each has their special thing. When you look specifically at Sheriff, he's kind of like Trent is on the other side. You can get him as a guard out in space in ways, and that allows you to do things with your run schemes as a puller, for instance, that are more unique to guard, that allow them when they do have the rare successful game. But like, you look at that LA game where they were dominant running the football, they do a lot of that behind Brandon Sheriff as a puller, and he's so aggressively violent. And I mean that as a compliment, as a puller, that if you're a linebacker coming up and you come up in the hole and you're like, and you got your head on a swivel because, God, if Brandon Sheriff's running trap here, he's going to just take my head off. He's going to mollywop me. Or his ability to pick up blitz. There was one play this year, might be my favorite player of the year, in the Oakland game where one of their safeties came on a blitz. I think it was Reggie Nelson came on a blitz, and Sheriff saw him and just waited, and then waylaid him.
Drilled him.
It probably is my favorite play of the year. And so that kind of physical nature, when you talk about building a football team and what McLuhan was trying to do at the time of establishing a culture, Brandon Sheriff's a part of that. And so in that way, you can definitely justify the pick. I just don't think you'll ever look back and go, man, they got maximum value there, even if they wound up drafting a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that part I agree with. And by the way, we can't forget, Jay Gruden, when referencing the draft that year, said, we drafted a guard. So that's how he
a first-round receiver who didn't play, and a guard.
At Craig Hoffman on Twitter. You got to give him a follow if you care about the Redskins. Craig, you mentioned this McLuhan thing. I actually was going to ask you about this weekend, but I forgot. This hearing is going on right now, and there's a grievance between Scott McLuhan and the Redskins. It's been publicized. Everybody knows about it. It's not open court, so we won't have the blow-by-blow, kind of play-by-play of who said what, even though I would pay a vast sum of money to find out every word that was said in this thing. How is that playing in the building? Have you noticed anybody kind of scurrying around or, you know, anything else as it relates? I know the players have to worry about a game and so do the coaches, but this is something that's hanging over the organization. This year was kind of about firing McLuhan and the people that were left over saying they knew better. What have you noticed? What's the tenor? What's going on?
Yeah, it hasn't really been a thing that's been noticed at all. Jay's pretty good about compartmentalizing things, and so like we obviously only saw him on Monday for the press conference, and we haven't been back in the building, headed over there in just a little bit. But he's the only public-facing guy that we get to see. I mean, we don't get to talk to Bruce Allen. We don't get to talk to Alex Santos or Scott Campbell or any of the other front office people, and obviously Scott and Alex weren't involved in the decision to fire him, but they're the ones filling the void. I think it's going to depend the reaction in the building of how quiet they can keep it. Is this something where some of the testimony leaks out in some kind of way, or that there's some kind of record unsealing where we find some kind of public revelation that reflects negatively on the building and they have to answer questions about it? If not, it's going to largely fly under the radar, I think, if they can settle this quietly, which might honestly be what both parties want to do. I don't know how much Scott's really out to make the Redskins look bad here, as opposed to just try to keep his, you know, get his money and then be able to continue his career. And obviously the Redskins, if they get caught doing something that they weren't supposed to in terms of firing McLuhan for cause when they didn't really have the grounds to do so, they're going to want to keep that quiet. I think what becomes interesting is if they win, can they keep their ego in check, right? If all of a sudden they win and they're like, oh, yeah, no, we fired him for cause and that was the right move, are they piping up about it, or do they just go, hey, we wish Scott the best, we have no further comment? And that should be the play, and I would imagine it would be, but you can never be so sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to be gained the other way. Craig Hoffman is with us on Grant and Danny. How about Sunday's game with the Broncos? Take the temperature as you can perceive it in your interactions with the fans. Do you feel like there will be a great level of excitement if they win this game? I get the sense that even the people that watch, if they win, good. If they lose, well, it's okay. I'll justify it by saying that we get a better draft pick is kind of how fans feel. What's your take on the necessity for a win for the fans?
Yeah, I would say it's more united on the if they win, good side than what happens if they lose. If they lose, there's some that are go, okay, we get a better draft pick, it's fine. And then there's some people that are saying we should. That means you should fire the coach. And obviously, it seems like all the fans want to fire Bruce Allen. And you can certainly make those arguments with some kind of logical or some kind of logic. But at the end of the day, I don't know. Like, are people getting really excited about 8-8? No, I think there is, though, and especially with no playoffs, I think, though, there is the realization amongst a large swath of the fan base that I interact with that if they were to pull off 8-8 and they win and are competitive these last couple of weeks, like, that's still something that's pretty cool, and you can be proud of this team and the fight that they've showed, despite that the fact that when they needed it the most in Dallas and L.A., it wasn't there, but at least they didn't give up. And there's some valor in not giving up. And when you try to spin things forward and think about kind of the general tenor of your franchise going into the offseason, that can be positive. You know, I think it's important, you know, when you look at how the PR spin's going to happen with the Kirk negotiations. Like, I think this stuff matters here more than it does in some other places, and that's not necessarily a good thing. But amongst the reasonable and rational fans, I do think there still is this feeling like, hey, we want to build something moving forward. And a win means we likely see some performances from some guys we'd like to see good performances from. And so those dots kind of all connect in that way.
Craig, you're a good man. Appreciate the time, my friend. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Thank you, sir.
See you, pal.
Always good having you on the show. There's Craig Hoffman. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, the president of ESPN, has stepped down. If you took over that company, what would you change? What's the first thing you would do? We'll get into that next on G&D. Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. Thanks, as always, for making the show part of your day. ESPN President John Skipper announced on Monday that he was resigning from the network due to a substance addiction problem. Do you hope for him that he can get his life in order and that in check, and he can get back to being involved in the business in some capacity? He said, quote, "I have struggled for many years with substance addiction. I have decided that the most important thing I can do right now is to take care of my problem." Skipper said in a statement, said that he and the company have mutually agreed that it was appropriate for him to resign. "I come to this public disclosure with embarrassment, trepidation, and a feeling of having let others I care about down. As I deal with the issue and what it means to me and my family, I ask for appropriate privacy and a little understanding." So this is a tough deal for ESPN, obviously. He was instrumental in a lot of the direction altering and changes that they've made. He has been running that company over the last several years. And I bring this up, Danny, because you and I were talking about ESPN, and they're at a crossroads as it was.
Yeah.
Even if John Skipper didn't leave, they are, like the rest of us, finding out month in and month out and every single year about this changing industry and the changing clientele, and they're trying to keep up with the Benjamins, basically. They're trying to figure out how can we not become irrelevant, and now they're going to have to do it without a guy who was their leader. But you came up with an interesting question, I thought.
So here's what I want to know. ESPN is a punching bag because they're the biggest. They're the monolith. They are the gold standard of our thing, right? Sports media. So we care more about ESPN, kind of the inner workings, than I think the regular consumer. But even as a sportsman, if I didn't get to sit in this chair, I'd still consume a lot of ESPN. I'd also choose not to consume lots of things ESPN does. So the question I thought would be interesting, and we can do it here, 800-636-1067. You get named president today. You are the new president of ESPN. What's your first order of business? What are you doing? ESPN, I think, tried incorrectly, in my opinion. This is where I'm going to get to what I would do. To try to be so many different things. It used to be the place to go for highlights. Right? Now you don't really need that. So how does it evolve? Well, now it's the place you go for games, right? It's the place you go to see the NBA games. You see Major League Baseball games. You see the NFL games. They tried to be that. Then they tried to be a bunch of other things. And these other things, to me, you need to decide what do you want to be. And here's what I want to be. I don't think their strategy of first taking, I don't think their strategy of chuckleheading on NFL primetime with Samantha Ponder and Rex Ryan or Andy Moss doing slapstick bits. Who would have thought the ratings went down, by the way, when the show got worse? Stop making bad shows that satisfy some sort of congratulatory thing. We have a woman host on primetime. Look how forward-thinking we are. No one cares. about that. People come to a sports thing not for social commentary or not for some sort of grandiose stand. They come because they want to see if their team's going to win or lose that game. They want to see fantasy matchups.
I'm not sure that everyone cares because I should say this. I'm not sure that no one cares. I think there are people who do. I saw a host crying on his radio show, Dan Le Batard,
right,
with the Skipper news, which I thought was crazy. But, I mean, he talks about inclusion and all the things that – now, his dad is on one of his shows who is not an English speaker first.
Let me rephrase. When I say no one cares, I don't think many consumers care. A couple guys with, like, very powerful Twitter accounts and big blogs, the Richard Deitches of the world care about this stuff. They keep track and they keep quotas of, you know, what – ethnic background every person is, what race someone is, what gender someone is, what their sexual preference is. Regular consumers don't necessarily show up or not show up for that. A lot of loud voices will tell you one way or the other, but I think the regular rank and file, if I'm not sitting in this chair, I want to turn to ESPN and figure out, are the Redskins winning today? Do I sit my fantasy guy or do I start this other guy? But just give it to me. So my point is, ESPN does so many things so well, right? The 30 for 30s are the greatest things done in sports right now. And they are incredible and they are awesome. And ESPN, under John Skipper, spearheaded those things.
Yeah, my short list is Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, magazine-type shows like E60 and those documentaries.
So their NFL Live show, usually hosted by Trey Wingo, is outstanding. Their Baseball Tonight show, outstanding. The things that they do are really good. Now, those things aren't getting great ratings. But my point is, I don't think the way this marketplace is changing of sports consumption, I don't think you can get great ratings with the Chucklehead debate shows. I don't think you can get great ratings with this piece of the pie maintained with Stephen A. Smith calling out players and trying to pick fights and have Max Kellerman go, "Where's my camera? Where's my camera?" Nonsense. Get rid of stuff that doesn't work, that satisfies some sort of weird self-congratulatory thing. Be the thing that you do so well. Your piece of the pie will be what it will be. Trying to scratch and claw down the hill, trying to be all things for all people, I think you stop doing that.
The problem
is, I plant my flag and say, we are journalism and we are sports.
But what if their ratings do get worse? Because the shows that get better ratings are the shows that you and I hate. I mean, that is the fair question. Because my answer to what you're asking and what we'll ask on the phones at 800-636-1067, you take over as the president of ESPN tomorrow, what's your first order of business and what is your plan? I think a lot of people, and it's for that reason maybe not a great topic because I think we all kind of agree that listen to this show anyway, I'm getting rid of the embrace debate philosophy. I am ending all of the shows that were patterned loosely off of a great show, pardon the interruption, where you just put two people in a room and said, scream as loud as you can and say the most inflammatory thing that you can. Because that is what Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless on First Take were for years. Mm-hmm. And it's what now Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman are. You see it on Fox Sports 1. The only difference being on FS1, people care less about the people that are doing it. No disrespect to Nick Wright, who did a good radio show in Houston, and we got to know a little bit at Super Bowls over the years. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to Chris Carter or to even Colin Cowherd, who's right, a national name. People just don't care that much about two guys. You could hire me and you to do one of those shows. No one knows or cares who we are. So us just screaming back and forth and saying crazy things doesn't matter that much.
Right.
Why does anyone really care or are they invested in what we have to say? PTI was so successful and is still such a good show that it's ruined a lot of things. Because now the assumption is this is what it has to look like.
Right.
It's got to be two people. Well, here's the difference. They have generally informed, insightful, reasoned, reasonable conversations. There is not yelling necessarily. There is not who can say the craziest, hottest thing and the take that is burning the brightest to get the biggest headlines because Dan Steinberger write it up. That is not what, pardon the interruption, is. Now, that's not to say that when you're giving 30 opinions a day.
Yeah, there'll be missteps or
right,
inflammatory
that
things.
That isn't to say that you're not going to have hot takes because naturally, I have hot takes sometimes. You have hot takes.
I have scalders.
But the point of the show is not that. So I would get rid of when ESPN went in the direction of let's just have debate shows. And I would go back to, let's provide information. At one point in time, they provided highlights. They don't need to provide highlights anymore because I get highlights before you can give them to me anyway. It's like a newspaper right now. A newspaper, if they just wrote game stories and posted yesterday's news without any opinion or without any additional information, it's an antiquated technology.
It's out of business.
I get my news on the internet The minute something happens, if I wait till tomorrow to read it in your newspaper, it's no longer good. Just like if I wait to see the highlights till your highlight show tonight, it's too late. But here's what you can do. You can provide information. You can be smart. MLB Network does some great shows right now with analysts who are savvy and they're smart and they're intuitive and they make good points. And they've got shows that give you statistical analysis like no one else does. They've got shows based all around the stat era that is being created. Get creative and provide information. Make people smarter. Entertain with insight. That should be the philosophy.
And we're pretty much in lockstep, but here's the way I would try to phrase it. You can pay $4 million or whatever the hell the number is to Stephen A. Smith to get, for the sake of argument, I don't have great numbers on this, but bear with me, to get a two share, right? To get things and get some occasional clicks and buzz. Or you can pay an anchor $125,000 to play point guard with a couple former players and get a one share. ESPN has decided we're going to play the $4 million game for these personalities that we think matters.
Yeah.
They've decided they want to major in that in more ways than they should. My point is, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to cut journalists. I'm not going to cut the guys that made this thing great. I'm not going to get rid of the Ed Werders of the world at the expense of Stephen A. Smith. I will never do that. And then want to have some sort of leg to stand on because of how forward-thinking I am. I won't do that. I won't play that game. I'm majoring in what you're majoring in, and I'm also going to get rid of stuff that doesn't work. That's the main deal here. They keep things along that don't work, and there's no reason for it other than to be able to say, look at how enlightened we are. Look at how forward-thinking we are. Look at how diverse all this other kind of stuff is. Do things that work. You're not supposed to solve all society's problems. You're supposed to deliver sports information content the way that you're talking about. That's what I want. Do that, and you can be okay. You're never going to be what you were because the world has changed. That's not your fault.
And you shouldn't be chasing that ghost, by the way. Those days are over. But you got to do better than you have at just not putting embarrassing content on TV, which from time to time is what they've done. 800-636-1067 is the number. The Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open. 800-636-1067. We'll get to your calls next. ESPN's president has stepped down. If you took over that job, what changes would you make? That is the question on Grant and Danny.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Changes are a-coming at ESPN. They'll be under new leadership. Their president has stepped down. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. If you took over the four-letter network, what change would you make? What philosophy shift, paradigm would you lead? That is the question, 800-636-1067. I am no longer embracing debate. I am going to create content and shows that inform. I am providing information. I'm going to keep guys who do a really good job and women who do a really good job educating and entertaining. And I'm getting rid of people who just have loud opinions that stir the pot. I will go down and I will lose and I will be fired doing it that way.
Yeah, I'm majoring
in just feeding fast food out the window.
I'm majoring in Doris Burke and I'm moving on from Samantha Ponder. I you know what I mean? Like that's my kind of dichotomy. I don't care what your background is. I don't care about any of those kind of stuff.
I'm majoring in Lewis Riddick. I am minoring in Stephen A. Smith. I am majoring in someone who can sit at a desk and give me info I don't have, Adam Schefter. I am minoring in someone who will shout loudly about what's going on. Anyone who's ever done any show sitting with Skip Bayless, or I would throw Max Kellerman or any of those other guys like that into the equation.
100%.
Let's go to Joe in Manassas. Joe, how are you?
Hey, Bob.
What's up, Grant and Danny? Happy holidays.
You too, pal.
You too.
So what I'm going to say is I got a couple things. First off, we're getting Stephen A. Smith. He's gone, canned. Second off, we're getting rid of the terrible programming, man, with the hot takes, no facts. It's just opinions. I'm tired of that, like you guys said. Also, the crappy games, man. I turn on ESPN, I'll see, you know, just – the most randomest games in the world. I'm like, why would they put that game on? I don't want to watch that game.
They got 24 hours to fill, Joe. What do you want them to do?
So, Joe, how old are you again? I know you've told us before.
I'm 35.
35. So you're old enough to remember when ESPN, before they had all the regular programming that we're now used to, Monday Night Football, the NBA, whatever, they used to fill their time with, like, regional college sports, Australian rules football, like all these like weird cricket. I mean, they used to have all these weird, wild of sports type stuff. That's why they invented the X Games, to kind of fill the void in some of these off seasons. Now that they've got better quote unquote products, things that more people care about, it's almost gotten worse, hasn't it?
Yeah, I totally agree. And one of the big philosophy changes that I would make is I would quit paying overpaid NFL old retired players. I mean, come on, man. These guys are worthless just with their opinions. You're going to pay them $1 million to $500 million. I mean, it's just ridiculous. That model needs to change.
I definitely think the amount of insane money spent on guys coming in just based on the name that they've created as players is a bad business model in the industry, in the sense that there are other very deserving former players that might be just as good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you played and you're very popular, you may not invest the time or the energy or do a good job, but you're going to make a lot of money. And now there's less money to spend on the things that matter. You need to, I think, reward the people who do it the right way.
Yeah, so I'd rather pay Ryan Clark than Ray Lewis, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, so,
see, I think Ray Lewis is fine, but I get where you're going
with
that.
I mean, like, the guy, the name is so huge that he commands this massive...
How about the Marshall Faulk commentary on Cousins from a couple weeks ago? What are we talking... That's your analysis? I'm paying you crazy amounts of money for that? You know, Jamie Duke says just crazy things all the time, mm-hmm. I feel like. You know, it was like the face of NFL Network for a couple years. To me, I want people who are going to provide reasonable, reasoned insights. People who watch the film, who study the game, and who have analysis that meshes with reality.
Because there are guys that do that. I mean, there are guys that are incredible at it, that are out there. The instant Lorenzo Alexander retires, please, some network, take that guy and put him front and center. Please.
Right. I'll give you one right now who would be a great analyst. Kedrick Golston, who was a longtime Redskin. Kedrick Golston's not going to get some national spotlight because he's not a big enough name. But he would do a much better job breaking down the game, making you think, saying things that are interesting than whatever guy who he played with for a couple of years who's going to get that exact same job and paid a lot more money. James in Fredericksburg, what's up?
Hey, James.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Merry Christmas.
You too, bud.
I think you guys are pretty much hitting the nail right on the head, to be honest with you. My main gripe right now with ESPN is that when I turn on TV, I just want to see highlights, man. You know, it's like I know they had 30-some games the night before, and they might only show, you know, two or three of the NBA games. They might just show, you know, two big dunks in those games. And then they'll flash to the stands and show, like, a funny sign or something in the stands. I'm like, man, I want to see how that team did, how the other team did, who won the game, how they won the game, and then let's go.
Let me ask you this, James, because that goes against, I think, what is now kind of the prevailing common sense of everyone already has their highlights. So for you, I don't know what your lifestyle is like generally, but – you've got NFL Red Zone, you've got mobile apps on your phone, you can track fantasy online. Don't you have a pretty good idea of the games? Haven't you seen most of the touchdowns before the end of the night?
With football, I think that's true, but with basketball, with baseball, you know, I want to turn on the TV, I want to see who's getting the singles to score the runs, who's hitting the home runs. I don't just want to see the grand slams, or I don't just want to see the save. I want to see more in-depth stuff from each game. Every single day.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate you.
I appreciate that.
It's a good phone call. Thank you. One thing I would say, that the last caller made a point, I think it was Joe, who said the randomness of the games bothers him. Now, I think this is specific to just how much do you care about something or not. But, like, as an example, the amount of just college basketball games that couldn't be less interesting to me that ESPN airs is completely off the radar. I think they just air so many weird college basketball games that the average person in the country doesn't care about. Hmm. It's probably their 800th biggest issue. But my question to Joe would be, what do you do with that time? Wouldn't you rather them show some college basketball game between South Carolina and UTEP or whoever it is?
Sure, yeah.
Then what else are they going to air? I guess if they've got a documentary they could throw there, I'd rather watch that.
Yeah, I mean, there is so much content. Now you've got multiple channels to fill, too.
You're filling 24 hours.
But I'll take, because that to me is cheap, smart programming. In other words, I'll take a late-night Baylor, you know, BYU game or something like that at 10:30 on a Wednesday, because what? It's not like you're tuning into ESPN
Correct.
Anyhow,
that's
right?
That's my point. What is the other option?
Right. So I
guess I would take some type of NFL, like, sit-down talk show over it if the NFL show was good. But most of them are kind of cookie-cutter, same thing we're talking about, with people just screaming about things that don't matter.
I mean, the best show they do, regularly, forget about 30 for 30. That stuff, again, is almost in its own category. That stuff's incredible. I think it's the exact right amount. The best show that they do, I see every day when I go downstairs to our Nubs gym and work out, where they've got the Adam Schefters, Lewis Riddick, the NFL Live. That show, and
or
I kind of go.
Maybe even NFL Insiders, which is on like right around that
maybe,
same time.
Maybe that's what it's called.
I'm butchering the name. Really good.
It's just terrific. And I go, you're capable of that. And yet, if I had it on ESPN 2 hours ago, it would be, let me tell you something, Kevin Durant. I will find out where you live. I'll come to your house. I'll tomato can your car. I'll spray paint.
What's tomato
on your face.
Canning
That's
car.
When you take a tomato can, you hit a car with it. That's real. Okay. Stephen A. Smith starting fuels. Let's be real here.
Dan's in Arlington on the fan. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. Great, great topic, and I'm very glad I called in.
Thanks, sir.
This topic actually leads me to a question I've had that I've been wanting to call into you guys for. Grant, this is Dan from George Mason, by the way.
Oh,
congrats
cool. What's
on the
up,
success.
Buddy? Thanks, man.
Good. Not much, man. And Danny, congrats to you, too, man. You're pretty good, too.
All right.
but the question, and then I'll tell you the tiered process I've got for ESPN. First, the question is, every time I go work out, I see Stephen A's show on every television, and I go up to those TVs and I specifically change them to a real sports analysis show like Redline with Grant and real sports reporters that are in the trenches, because I'm sick of him getting ratings just because people default to ESPN during that time of day.
Great point.
So the question is, do you guys have any idea how much that bolsters his ratings because they're just defaulted to that?
Yeah, every bar and every restaurant the night before where people were watching games. And by the way, still no one knows to like turn on the local channel. They just go, oh, ESPN, and then they run their bar.
Such a good point.
And so it turns on the next day for lunchtime. It's just on.
Not only that, a lot of bars will just leave the channel on ESPN. So they might straight to ESPN. But I'm not even saying from the night before. Like, you're giving credit to if you watch the Redskins game, the next day your TV's on Fox. I'm saying even if it's not, I'm a bartender. I turn on the TV and it's on, you know, NBC Sports Network because the Caps played the Penguins the night before. I'm flipping directly to ESPN and, oh, there's the familiar face. There's Stephen A. Smith.
So we just
and
got
they're talking about the Chiefs and Alex Smith. So whatever. I mean, people seek that crap out. It's crazy.
Yeah.
What are you doing over there?
Oh,
you're
sorry.
Making a lot of faces and you're pointing to your computer.
Yeah, there's big news in baseball, but I'm trying to figure out if I should share it with you or wait till the commercial break to do it.
What is it?
Evan Longoria traded to the Giants.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that for San Francisco.
I do too. That's a great move for San Francisco.
Tampa Bay is about to sell some pieces off.
It's a Florida fire sale. If you play for a baseball team in Florida, pack your bags.
Who would they give up to get Evan Longoria?
Do not see just yet. Just have the report from the Tampa Bay Times.
Wow. I dig that for the Giants. They're going to bounce back pretty quick, I think. They're not in the business with Bochy nearing the end of his career, you'd imagine, just kind of losing a lot of games and being okay with it. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Thanks for the feedback, participation on that topic. Let's get to our double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Denard Spann, former Nationals great, friend of the program.
Good guy.
On the move to Tampa Bay from San Francisco, reportedly as part of the Evan Longoria trade that you were just talking about.
He got old quick, Denard did. You know what I mean? He went from, like, young, up-and-coming, speed guy, top of the order, you know, one day might steal 40 bases, 300-hitting table setter, to, like, getting thrown in as part of a deal because you can take his contract on. You know what I mean? That happened lickety-split, didn't it?
Well, remember, he wasn't young, not to say that he was old, when he came to the Nationals.
Right.
How old do you think he was when he started playing in D.C.?
28? 29?
He's 29 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, so he played here for 3 full years. He's been in San Francisco for 2. Dude's going to be entering his age 34 season.
How about it?
So he is old.
You know? I guess he is, yeah.
And it may not have happened all that quick. It just, he was coming here 6 years ago now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's crazy.
It really was that long ago, man.
It's weird that's how quick that went. Grant and Danny on the fan. Let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
Season 2 I would say maybe, GP, maybe, just maybe, as good, if not better, than season one. We are 75% of the way through season two of The Crown, baby. The Crown gets you some. So well acted.
This is the show that I told you to watch. The
You're
first
right.
I've ever given you a good pointer on, I think.
The recommendation is a good one. Again,
I'm still stuck on three episodes of The Crown,
by
the way.
If you like things that aren't just like, whatever, like those guys that are with the big beards and they're in the mud and they like find ducks or something like that. You know what I'm talking about with the camouflage
Duck
on?
Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, if you like things that are better than that, give this a go. It's, again, incredibly, it's subtle, it's well acted, it's smart, it's sharp. The girl that plays Queen Elizabeth, Claire Foy, I don't know what else she's been in. She is outstanding. She is absolutely outstanding. It's a subtle little line she's got to walk, Jeeps. And you'll see it as you get into the show that you recommended to me, by the way. You basically have to do very little, and even that has to be big and impactful.
Yeah, I loved her. She was what initially had me sold on the show. She's such a good actress.
Because you have to think about that world where everything is prim and proper, and it's like this, and everything is just so right. Yep. You have to have these big reactions and emote and like share all these different things without doing what normal actors get to do. Like most actors, like they want a monologue and they want to, you know, have a big death scene and like roll around and scream. She can never raise her voice, never lose her temper. It's all through these subtle like little eye and body movements. And you could tell how tortured and hard it is for her, and yet at the same time, she's able to walk that line and master it. The show is really, really solid. It gets into some of the stuff. It's got a little heavier in season two.
Ooh.
Went into some of the historical context of what some members of the royal family were actually doing, some things that I didn't know that were kind of shocking and glaring, I will say.
I would
Very
love
good.
To finish season one and catch up to season two.
What are you doing with your time that you're not doing it?
Not being at home. Not having any time right now.
Is this a show you cannot watch without Allison?
No, she doesn't watch any shows.
Doesn't care?
I can do anything I want at any time with shows. You just know that I get in on shows, and then I can't finish them, and then months will go by, and I'll make another attempt.
You got to do it.
Unless it's Last Chance You, which I just did in like 6 days.
Because it's perfect.
Oh, it was just so
Buddy good. Stevens is still in your head going, and hey, and hey, and hey.
Buddy Stevens stinks.
He stinks.
What's the last show you finished?
Last Chance You. I finished Last Chance You in...
Is that right?
Both seasons in the span of, I want to say, less than a week.
And that was over the summer.
Was it the summer? Maybe. Yeah, you might be right. I was thinking fall, but probably the summer.
Didn't you finish Ozark?
Ozark, I also finished.
Okay.
Was that after Ozark. Last Chance You?
Ozark was before Last Chance You.
Oh, it was before.
Ozark started my kick of, I want to be a TV guy again.
I want to watch some shows.
Binging. And then I did Last Chance You.
Yeah. So then Last Chance You was in the fall. Okay.
Yeah. So Ozark and Last Chance You are the... Those are like the two shows I've finished in the last year and plus. I'm just not good at watching shows. I think that's what we've decided. All right, it's time for my double play. I will read from ABC6onyourside.com. I don't know where this ABC6onyourside.com is. I feel like all the ABC6s are on my side. Have you ever noticed that?
I feel like there's no news organization that's like, listen, we're kind of against you.
We're not on your side.
We're not trustworthy.
So, Dateline, East Hampton, Massachusetts, to clear it up. WKRC. A high school in Massachusetts is trying to eliminate the word freshman, according to a report, WWLP.
Oh, my God.
East Hampton High School wants to change the term to first-year students to be more gender-inclusive. The change was recommended by a gender and sexuality alliance group at the school. The group went through the school's handbook and came up with suggestions on how the language could be more gender neutral.
I've got some suggestions.
Quote, currently high school students would have the right to free speech to use the term freshman. James Winston Esquire. I love Esquire.
Esquire is such a funny bit.
It's such a good bit. Told WWLP.
I want to be an Esquire.
The school would have a very high bar to show that there was some type of harm that would happen with that term being used. The school superintendent released a statement making it clear that students could still say freshman if they chose to, even though the hope is that they won't. East Hampton High School was recently instructed to undergo diversity and inclusion training after being investigated by the Attorney General's Office for racial incidents at the school. Obviously, that's serious. That's a big deal. Here is my bigger thought on this. I tweeted this out, by the way, and I thought this was fairly harmless. I always remember, never engage.
Never, ever.
I feel like I am so good at not tweeting about politics or really giving my opinion on anything other than sports or movies or food on my Twitter account. I think I'm so good at it. Mm-hmm. I probably bat 997. I don't think you could do much better than I do on it. When I do occasionally see something that's so fascinating, I want it disseminated for everyone to see. I'm not overly political. I just kind of put it out there. So I posted this story and I said, do you ever wonder what words will be considered inappropriate in 10 years? Because the point is that this term freshman is a bad word because it has man in it.
Of course.
Just like the term woman has man in it.
That, by the way, is the least offensive thing that anybody could say about it.
Right.
You didn't say triggered.
I'm not saying anybody. Snowflakes or this. I'm not even giving my opinion. You don't even know what I think about it. I'm just saying, do you ever stop and wonder where we're going to be in 10 years? That's all I asked. Some of the responses I got,
of course,
were incredible.
Exactly.
I mean, people were very upset at me, many of them. People saying, hopefully, you know, in 10 years, you won't have a platform to not understand. People saying, like, what was the one that I love so much? Oh, there was one that was so good. Someone said something along the lines of that the fact that you don't understand that this word is a problem makes you the problem.
You are the problem.
Freshman is the word. Freshman.
Freshman.
But because it's not freshman or freshwoman or, you know what I mean, whatever, it's, are we going to no longer use the term mankind? Hey, are we never going to use the term mankind again, Danny?
Can't do that, right?
Because there's man. The term woman has men in it. The term female has male in it. Are those terms off the books as well?
See, there are so many things that I could say. I won't say any of them because, again, it gets into that realm of it turns into somehow political and people will use it for their own. It's just
here's someone.
It's amazing that gets the same level of passion as like a very real and tangible important thing. Does that make sense?
The DC Sports Curse says to me, as a process guy, doesn't it make obvious sense to use it to not use a term that's only half accurate?
It's completely accurate. No, it's not a gender specific term. Again, this is one of those unbelievable wastes of time, and it's what leads to people, by the way, to react so harshly when you go, you're concerned about this, right?
Yes.
I'm just saying from the other side, you go, you're so concerned about this, I'm going to go to the opposite extreme just to piss you off because you're so irritated by this.
Christopher says, it's almost as if language is a thing that evolves over time, with new words being added and phased out. Shaking my head. Yes, language should evolve over time. Bad words shouldn't be used. This isn't one of them. Kristen says, watching old school Law and Order episodes from the early 90s and listening to the way AIDS and gay citizens were spoken of is so jarring. I'm sure that that's true, and
I agree. It's actually a legitimate point, yes.
That has nothing to do with the word freshman. Nothing, by the way.
Right.
Literally nothing to do with the word freshman.
I mean, it used to be very easy. You could make fun of people that went to UVA, because that's what they do. They do first year, second year, third year, fourth year. And that was very haughty and pretentious and whatever else. Turns out they were actually way ahead of the game. Turns out they had it all figured out. They knew this was coming. So they avoided this entire controversy over the term freshman. Just this is one of those, not a great battle to pick. There are plenty of things that are worth fighting for. Plenty of things. That's not one of them.
Just something I saw that I thought you might find interesting, Danny.
Oh, I found it interesting.
Grant and Danny, your Beltway Blitz at noon, 12:18. Does a win this weekend matter to you as a Redskins fan? You're listening to Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.